Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Brad Bigs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the guest hotline, which, of course, is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
It's not a happy story. Got to be brutally honest with you. I kind of feel like the two of us are playing the role of Nick Foles, and we're just standing there saying this offense isn't working, just isn't working, to our listeners. And no one's arguing. It's not working. There's no way around it. You don't have to read lips to figure it out, as you wrote.
Yeah, no, it's really bad, guys. It looked like they were stealing a page out of the Terry Shea playbook and the 2004 era of the Chicago Bears offense yesterday, except Terry Shea's Bears were never quite that bad. I mean, it was awful. This team ranks 31st in points per game. They're 32nd in yards per play. They're averaging 1.14 points per possession. They can't move the ball, and when you can't do that, you're not going to get in the end zone. This is a Cleveland defense that Browns fans were a little upset with after the first 2 weeks. There are seven new starters on that Browns defense this season, and boy, the Bears coming to town really straightened things out for that unit right away.
And, Brad, I'll maintain that the debacle said more about Matt Nagy than it did about Justin Fields. But there will be some people that look at what's happened in six quarters since we've seen Justin Fields and wonder and maybe start to question some things. Your second thought on your 10 thoughts on ChicagoTribune.com I think is very interesting, where you question some of these things and you wonder aloud about his readiness for to be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. How do you fit what happened yesterday and the way the game was called and some of those errors on behalf of Matt Nagy? How do you square that with the potential of Justin Fields and the evaluation of where he is?
Yeah, I mean, it was all bad yesterday. Nagy was bad. Fields was bad. The offensive line was bad. There were 9 sacks. Justin completed 6 passes. The Browns actually had 7 pass breakups in his 20 attempts. So the Browns broke up more passes than Justin completed. That's how close he was to a turnover or two there. Really a small miracle that there weren't turnovers for the Bears offense yesterday. Nagy's got to do a way better job. Fields has got to be a lot better. When you go through those 9 sacks, you're going to find some situations where the offensive line was clearly beaten immediately and the play was blown up. You're also going to find plays where Fields had to get the ball out. There was one specific play. I've already seen a cut-up of it. Allen Robinson's crossing the field. He's wide open. It's a brief window. The ball's got to come out. There's opportunity for yards after the catch there. Fields doesn't see it. The ball doesn't come out. He gets sacked. He's got to be better. And that's the inexperienced stuff you expect from a rookie making his first start. Rookie quarterbacks in the NFL this season, guys, 1-10 record. Mac Jones has got the only victory, and that came in a game against the woeful Jets. That's the worst roster in the league right now, and Zach Wilson. So the rookies are having a really difficult time, and you wonder if Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco is doing the smartest thing by keeping his guy primarily on the bench. Trey Lance had a rushing touchdown last night against the Packers. Didn't play a single snap the week before, in a victory for the 49ers at Philadelphia. You know, he's deemed Trey Lance isn't ready. They've got Jimmy Garoppolo. The Bears don't really have another option right now. Nick Foles, as I wrote this morning, guys, he's like that fire extinguisher in the glass case. The glass case reads break in case of emergency. With Nick Foles, it's break in case of two emergencies. The Bears, fortunately, have only had one so far as x-rays for a hand injury for Fields at the end of the game yesterday came back negative. That's another plus coming out of the game yesterday.
Okay, so we know they averaged whatever it was, 1.1 yard per play or something, and that
historically
was
bad.
Yeah, it was historically bad, and it was retweeted by Jimmy Graham. So Jimmy Graham, yeah, apparently not a happy camper with his role of, you know, designated overpaid guy, whatever his role is. I mean, they threw a pass to him, but he still has one catch on the year, and that's pretty ugly.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham with seven snaps in the game yesterday. Maybe they didn't have a chance to get into some of the situations where they planned on using more 12 personnel with him and Cole Kmet on the field. I don't know the explanation. Certainly they couldn't get any rhythm going offensively. Nagy couldn't get any rhythm going with play calls. I'm sure there's stuff on their call sheet that maybe would have had a chance of being successful if they could have gotten to it. But Graham's been completely overlooked through three games. You wonder why they kept him for $7 million this season. The only thing you can lean back to is the nine touchdown receptions he had a year ago, including the catch in the playoff loss to the Saints. So he's not happy. Foles, you know, if you're reading lips, is recognizing that this thing isn't working. And Nagy said yesterday how bad it was. You know, that's probably the most humbled we've seen Matt Nagy here in his fourth season. And it'll be interesting to see if he's really got any answers a little bit later on this morning at Hallis Hall. I don't know how he could come up with some in such a short period of time, but we will wait to hear from the coach in a little less than 2 hours at Hallis Hall.
So, Brad, let's go back to last week. You asked a fair question about Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, and it was a personnel question that Matt Nagy said, no, that scheme, Brad. So do you think when Matt Nagy takes a step back, if he is indeed humbled, he looks at what happened yesterday as a schematic failure or a personnel breakdown?
Oh, man, it was so bad. You've got to check all the boxes for, you know, incompetence yesterday, right? I mean, personnel was bad. Scheme was bad. Game plan was bad. It was all bad. David Montgomery busts off a 16-yard run on the first play from scrimmage, and it was literally all downhill from there. They came away with a field goal at the end of that possession. They took a 3-0 lead. You're looking at it and you're saying, hey, maybe they got a shot here. And my goodness, they couldn't do a thing after that. To total 47 yards with 42 offensive plays is unimaginably bad. But that's where we're at right now for the Bears. Maybe, you know, there's a reason why the coach said Dalton was going to be the starter when he's healthy. Maybe when they've been telling you that Fields is ahead of where they expected him to be at this point, you know, maybe that was seashells and balloons, right? Maybe that was wishful thinking on their part. Certainly you would expect Justin Fields to be better against the Detroit Lions this coming week. But I'll tell you what, guys, I heard from a scout last night who said, hey, the Lions bottom five roster in the NFL right now, but Dan Campbell's got a team that's playing really hard for him. So the Bears are going to be in a dogfight on Sunday against a really bad division opponent at Soldier Field.
I thought the cherry on top of the dumpster fire was the 4th-and-10 play at the end of the game that seemed designed just to let the quarterback get sacked again. I can't imagine what else you were trying to figure out. It just seemed like that was hopeless. The game was over, and then the kid has to get his hand x-rayed. What was the point of that?
Maybe you want to get Jason Peters on an island one more time with Myles Garrett. I don't know. That didn't work out so well for the 39-year-old. 4.5 sacks for Myles Garrett, second most all-time surrendered by the Bears to a single player, beneath only Alden Smith, who had 5.5 in that really ugly November 2012 loss at Candlestick Park to the 49ers. I don't know. I mean, you're chasing a way more points than you're going to be able to score there. Fields was on the move on that play, but man, yeah, Peters really, really got exposed in that game by the Browns, and the Bears were so bad on the offensive line, guys. They made Jadeveon Clowney, the former number one overall pick, look like a legitimate pass rusher, which we know he's really not. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to get big time sack production, but he blew right through Jermaine Ifedi. Ifedi had another false start penalty in that game on a possession where the Bears were 3rd and 1 right near midfield. That backs them up to a 3rd and 6. And what happens? They take a sack and they have to punt and they can't build any momentum. So bad all the way across the board. I mean, look at some of these stats for some of these wide receivers. I mean, Allen Robinson through 3 games, guys, has done next to nothing. He's got 86 yards. That's kind of a regular game for Allen Robinson, not 3 weeks. Darnell Mooney was supposed to be the guy to take the top off the defense this season. He's averaging 8.4 yards per catch. Darnell Mooney's not going to scare anyone as a possession receiver. That's not who he is. Cole Kmet can't get going. Jimmy Graham recognizes this thing isn't working. It's David Montgomery's run for about 100 yards the last 2 weeks combined. So it's been mighty bad. And the shame of it is the defensive effort was pretty good yesterday. It just wasn't sustainable when the Bears had to be on the field for, I believe it was 36 more snaps than that Cleveland defense. They eventually wore down, and Cleveland was able to put up over 100 yards in rushing in the fourth quarter alone.
And part of that was because Eddie Goldman wasn't there, Brad. And you asked Matt Nagy directly on Friday about his level of frustration with Eddie Goldman being out of practice on Friday and then out of the game, as it would turn out, a day later. He said zero frustration. I'm not buying it. I know you don't really buy it. You wrote something that was very critical of Eddie Goldman's commitment to football, questioning it, and I think you were well justified in doing so. Where does that stand, and where is that story headed?
Yeah, I can't tell you where it really stands, because the Bears aren't giving you a whole lot of real talk when it comes to Eddie Goldman and where it's going to go. Listen, I'd be surprised if it has a happy ending for the Bears. Maybe I'm dead wrong on this, but this doesn't pass the smell test right now. A guy opted out last year, chose not to participate in a voluntary off-season program, and then no-shows mandatory minicamp. So where's the commitment to the team, to teammates? Where's the passion for the game? I don't know. Knee injury, supposed to be minor. The Monday before the opener, that was on September 6th. From what I gather, the folks inside Howell Saul thought he was going to miss a game, not more than that. Doesn't play against the Bengals, doesn't play against a terrific rushing offense in the Cleveland Browns. I know this, Cyrus Tonga, Angelo Blackson, some of those other guys, they've got to be thrilled. It's more opportunities for them. But this thing doesn't add up. He's making $4.75 million this season. I believe that is guaranteed money. I can't say where this is going to head. And I honestly don't know if Eddie Goldman's the kind of guy that would respond to peer pressure from teammates if they were to say, hey, what's going on, man? I don't know that would trigger anything in him. So we'll have to see how that plays out in the days and weeks ahead. But it's an unfortunate situation for the Bears right now. There's no denying that.
All right, Brad. Thank you, buddy, for enduring that in our name. I don't know what else to tell you. That was
great stuff, Brad.
Awful. Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Keep your chins up.
You too.
Cheers, buddy. You too. That's our guy, Brad Biggs. And I mean, look, you know, you're sitting on that team.
Yeah.
You're writing about that team. You need something. Let's make up a word. Dramatic, both drastic and dramatic, to happen, kind of immediately here, or you're staring down. I mean, it's almost a miracle they won a game at this point after watching that mess. And I mean, it was a hot mess.
And it's week three. That's the thing. It's week three, and you're looking ahead at 14 more games. And, Mully, I have to share my favorite text yesterday after Kyrus Tonga fell on Baker Mayfield, got the flag, and you said, I'm mad at Eddie Goldman for that.
I did. I blamed Eddie Goldman for Tonga falling on getting a penalty. Thank you for enjoying my text.
I got it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It was a train wreck. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Coach, you know, you beat Detroit Sunday. You're 2-2 and still in the conversation. But looking back at the game here, you sound kind of depressed on the phone. And I guess who could blame you? But about your play calling, you know, going for the second field goal, second half adjustments for Justin Fields. Do your bosses talk to you about your play calling? Did they after the game last night? Is it possible you may give up the play calling at some point in the future, sir?
Well, I would say this, you know, in regards to that situation, you know, that's one of those deals there where you could certainly go for it and get the touchdown. And at that point in time, we wanted to make sure that we also got out of there with points to make it the one score game. So that's what we did. And for us, then it's about, you know, getting stops and then going down and getting more touchdowns to be able to, you know, make it a game. And we didn't do that. So as far as all the other stuff, again, you know, we look into everything and that starts with me. And I said that yesterday and I'll continue to say that. So whatever is best moving forward is what we'll do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Pat Cassidy talking to Matt Nagy this morning on our sister station WBBM. All right, hats off to Pat Cassidy. I think that's the question on everybody's mind. And Matt Nagy, as far as the other stuff, well, everything we'll consider. Didn't sound like he was anxious to give up play calling duties, but I think God bless Pat. That's the answer.
Excellent question. Direct question. A news guy getting to the bottom of what the story really is. And as we sit here today, we talked about 14 games left. You've got to figure out how to pivot and try to salvage something. Firing the play caller would be step one, and that is the question on the minds of every Bears fan, I think. And here, I didn't hear no, Mully, did you? I didn't hear Matt Nagy.
No. Yep.
He didn't say, no, I'm going to continue to call plays. He said, we'll look at everything, and if they do, somebody at Hallis Hall has to appeal to his common sense and to say, all right, you know what, this isn't working. You look historically, it hasn't worked. You're not scoring points, so you might want to try another way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've seen this now. We've seen this now for a few games, Coach. And sadly, I get it. You wanted to be the play caller. You view yourself as such. But this team needs a head coach, and it needs a better idea of how to get the most out of the rookie quarterback than whatever the heck it is that you're doing. That's the fact.
This team needs a head coach that tells it without any sort of doubt. Gets in front of the room and says, everything is going to be okay. I believe in everybody in this room, and we are going to be fine. But that head coach has also got to have the presence of mind to look at the play caller and says, you're not doing the job of holding you accountable. You're fired. And that would be – that's difficult to do if you're Matt Nagy, but that's the next step here.
312-644-6767, the listener line, and I don't have to tell you this, David, but it's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
It's Victory Monday because we're still winners, damn it.
Yeah.
All Start right. with Bob. Bob's on the road. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Well, it's more of a meatball Monday, but yeah, okay.
Hey, it's a victory either way. We made it to another Monday. Here, I got a little it's all about the game planning for me with Matt Nagy. Okay, Justin Fields dropped back to throw 20 times yesterday. On 13 of those 20 times, they had a five-man protection scheme. That's the minimum amount of people you can have blocking. That was the design of the play. Now, everybody knows why that's nuts, because you only have five horrible blockers to try and block for him. But the funny thing to me is that means you have five guys that are outrunning routes. You tell me who the five guys on the Bears that know how to run routes are. I got one. What are the other four guys supposed to do? Because they don't know how to run passing routes. I mean, Matt Nagy has had Justin Fields for 149 days he's been on the Bears. 149 days he's had to create a plan that would work. And that's what you came up with. I mean, you got to be kidding me with this guy. The fact that he can get up in front of the media, I love the Chicago's media, but they pay so much reverence to the McCaskies. The fact that he can get up there and continually say, yeah, I know, we're going to make it go forward. And somebody doesn't say, dude, shut up. You said that last week. Give me a new answer. I mean, these press conferences should be so contentious. I couldn't even stand myself. I would call the guy the biggest idiot in the room. He has no offense. He has no idea what he's doing. Give me a break. This thing is a dumpster fire, and if they don't fire him, then nobody ever deserves to be fired. Thanks.
All right, Bob.
Thanks for the phone call.
David, have you ever been in a news conference where you told someone to just shut up?
No, I don't think that I have. At least not somebody who wasn't sitting next to me.
Exactly. Well, the purpose of the news conference is to interview the interviewee, not to silence him.
Exactly right. You can't. I understand what he's saying about the frustration building,
right,
but that's not the way to handle it. Mully, real quick, Matt Nagy is easy to point at and criticize.
Yep.
The personnel, certainly, can we point at and criticize. This is systemic, though, and this is something that's bigger than just the play caller. And it has to do with the way the roster is constructed and where you allocate your resources. Just yesterday, you look at Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, Tariq Cohen, Jimmy Graham. Investments in offensive weaponry, right? Not infrastructure, offensive linemen. $20.3 million invested. That's the cap hit of those four guys who didn't help you at all yesterday. And then you look at what the dead cap space with Kyle Fuller, Buster Screen, and we always overlook Bobby Massey, the right tackle. That's $16 million in dead cap space there. You look at what percentage of the cap is not being utilized and how the offensive line has consistently been neglected. It tells you a lot why we are in the situation we are watching the Chicago Bear offense.
Jimmy Graham's cap hit, $10 million. That's the cap hit. You know, he's making significantly less. They've stretched out the money. Eddie Goldman, $7.8 million.
Well, that's another one.
Nick Foles, $6.66 million. I'm just talking about cap hits.
Yeah.
It's just insane. It's insane, the lack of bang for the buck.
It goes beyond Justin Fields. It goes beyond the rush, and we got to get Justin Fields, and oh, he's going to start. No, it's going to be great. No. There's a lot more to a football team than just the franchise quarterback. In fact, he's so good and means so much as your most valuable asset that you better be darn sure you protect him. And until you're able to do that, I don't know if playing him makes the most sense at this point if Andy Dalton is healthy, only because of what we saw yesterday.
It's beyond frustrating. Let's get to Mike. Mike is in Rockford. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, boys. Listen, Jim McMahon said it best. This is Chicago's where quarterbacks come to die. Let me say this, guys. The reason the Bears are in the debacle they're in is because of the clown named Mr. Pace and Mr. Nagy. But Pace is at the forefront of this because, guys, They don't have an offensive line. They don't have any depth. They had to give away all their players because they can't pay them because there's no organization. They don't structure their cap well. They don't know how to pay the players they need to pay, and they have no draft capital. This is the problem, guys. There is no offensive line. They have to get guys off the street. They are a debacle, and you go and you draft pick. They give picks. How many picks? I would love for you guys to analyze how many picks Pace gave away since he came in as a GM. I bet you he's got to be a record setter in giving picks away and drafting up. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Now, I got to say, I like the fact they got Fields. However, it's what they had to give up to get him. And they're in that position because 4 years earlier, they screwed up on Mr. Stinkbisky. Okay? So you got your problems here. And the reason is they have no roster depth. Why? Because Mr. Pace gives away the draft capital because he thinks there's somebody that's so special and the guy doesn't turn out to be special. And it's a joke, guys. This is a joke. And this is never going to end until you get rid of Pace and you get rid of Nagy. And you better hope to God that Fields is not destroyed, because quarterbacks can be destroyed if they're not utilized from the beginning. They're going to get this kid and it's going to get in his head. He's getting killed out there. He'll probably have three concussions before you get another GM out there, guys. I'm sorry, but this is ridiculous and unacceptable.
Thanks, Mike.
I
don't want to piggyback that, but they also traded up for Trubisky. It wasn't just that they had the third overall pick that year. They traded up to the second pick. He couldn't even wait to take the bad player.
Kind of duped into doing that, perhaps, and we'll never know the extent of that. But, okay, I have two thoughts. Number one, I do – think he trades up way too much. That's well established. Yes. I want the math. I want to know how many. Number two, I do wonder, Mully, let's not insult Mitch, because the further we go along here and the more evidence we see of a head coach and play caller unwilling to adapt and adjust, I do wonder if history will remember Mitch Trubisky as being the guy who was mishandled by Matt Nagy as much as he was maybe limited by his own ability.
Steve's in DeKalb. Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys. I think the Bears are in the same place they were last year when Nick Foles was quarterbacking. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass block for him. Now, if you had Tom Brady on that team, he wouldn't succeed. It's not singles tennis being a quarterback. This is a team game. The Bears are a poorly coached team. Vince Lombardi team never looked like a disorganized mess like this team is. Thanks.
The Browns had seven penalties for 98 yards, including the big one on the pass interference. The Bears had five penalties for 44 yards. Now, the Bears managed to rush for, what, like 48 yards or something? I think if you add all this up, it's like a shockingly horrific day at the office for the Chicago Bears. And I mean the kind of day that was historically bad. It's incredible how bad it was.
You add it up, and it equals confusion. And it's the kind of day that was bad enough to get somebody fired. Jermaine Effetti, does he have three false starts in three games? That's one per week. I don't like that average. That should not be happening for a Pro Bowl tackle.
To me, it was worse when he let the guy get the inside rush on him. I mean, that's one thing you can't do, man. And then you talk about I want to be respectful to an elderly gentleman of the game, but Jason Peters, on that third and 14, he dives at Myles Garrett's legs, and everybody complains about it. Didn't that seem like a desperation block? Like he knew the guy was by him, and he just threw himself out there?
He had no other choice except to try to chop him because
That's
he was
it.
Beaten so badly
That's
off
it.
The snap because his reaction time was so slow.
Right. The guy was going by him. And I mean, I don't know. Get in there. You got to protect your quarterback. Do you grab the guy's face mask and drag him down and just take the penalty? Is that a way out? Just throw me out of the game. Look, I ripped his helmet off. I've got to stop
him. If you're going to rip your quarterback's head off, you might consider all options because you know what? You can't get the quarterback hurt.
Oh, my God. All right. This is driving me crazy. 312-644-6767. It's a victory Monday because we're winners. But it's a meatball Monday because we all have to act like that.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Second and one. Montgomery on the give. First down, Chicago. Needed that. They could take a little breath. So, you know, when your quarterback, hey, you know, maybe this is the franchise guy Bears have been looking for. He's thrown one pass. What do you even say?
Yeah, I think it's hard to really evaluate. If I'm a fan sitting at home saying, you know, what does my future at quarterback look like? I don't think it's fair to Justin Fields to even really put much of a, you know, kind of thoughts on it. I think he's really hasn't done much, and I think it's because he hasn't really been given much of an opportunity, both by design, both by protection. I'd love to see him just open it up. Let him play. Let him be the dynamic player that we've seen him be in college. And see what happens.
As you watched, what did you see? What did you observe in the rookie's first start?
Well, what they need to do is they need to start building that offense to the rookie's strength and put him in a position to succeed. That's run game. That's play action. That's RPOs. That's getting him on the perimeter and allowing him to see throws. That's where he is at his best. That's where he'll make good decisions and also be able to make plays with his legs. This was maybe one of the opportunities he had to get outside the pocket. The rest of the day was spent in the pocket with guys like Myles Garrett, one of the best pass rushers in the league, just teeing off on him. So, listen, they're going to have games like this where he's going to have to drop back at times, but let's help him out by chipping, nudging these guys, giving him an opportunity to process and find completions.
Oh, yeah. There you go. We got everybody checking in. All the new analysts, Greg Olson on Fox, Drew Brees on Football Night in America on NBC, and everyone talking about Matt Nagy's game plan. We also have full phone lines, David. Everybody
yeah.
wants to talk about the game plan. We'll try to squeeze in as many people as humanly possible. 312-644-6767. Eric is on the road. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Yo.
Yes,
sir. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm driving back from Cleveland right now. I don't. My boys are with me right now. They say I'm going to get dumb because I'm going to swear. But this team is terrible. Matt Nagy has to go. It's a joke right now what is going on. I don't even know what to say. I'm so angry right now.
I hope you were in Cleveland for the White Sox. That's all I can think of.
I was. Yeah, I watched them lose, too, Saturday
oh
night.
Saturday, but they won yesterday.
Now we just got to admit that Eric's bad luck. John's
drive safely, Eric.
Yeah, be careful. John is driving back from Cleveland, too. Hey, John.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Turn down the radio, bro.
Turn down the radio a little bit, will you?
Yeah,
turn that down.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry.
That's a good idea.
You know, I'm driving with Jim and Lou and Kev, and, you know, we were watching that game yesterday at the Great Lakes Brewing Company, you know, in Cleveland. Well, the first part is they run out of Dortmund right away, you know, so we're behind the eight ball to start with. So then we're watching this game with all the, you know, these clown Cleveland Browns fans and stuff like that, having to put up with the way that, you know, Fields got treated yesterday. There's only one answer for this whole thing. They need to clean house. They need to fire this moron coach that they have who has no idea how to use a quarterback like this and you know, take that pace guy with him too. But anyway, so, you know, they made him look like the guy had never played football before. They didn't, you know, these guys got plenty of tools to play quarterback, and then they make him look like Larry Rakestraw. You know, it's just – it is incredible – how, you know, it makes you think that they ruined Trubisky. He didn't ruin it for them. They ruined it for him because they don't understand football. This team, they need a new coach and a new system and everything new because what they got is not working right now.
Thanks for the phone call.
Safe home, Jim and Lou and Kev and John, and safe home to Eric and the boys, both people driving back from Cleveland. I'm sorry, Dave.
Absolutely true. Yeah. And, you know, going back to like what Greg Olson said, I do think it's fair to kind of resist forming any hard and fast conclusions about Justin Fields. I don't think it's fair to overreact to what we have seen in six quarters because, especially yesterday, if Justin Fields was bad, Matt Nagy was worse. And we went into the game understanding that there was much more riding on Matt Nagy and his approach than there was Justin Fields. So the onus falls on Matt Nagy to do what people clearly doubt that he can, and that is to pivot away from this scheme and try to figure out a best way to take advantage of Justin Fields' talent.
Rich is in Lakeview. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rich.
I wish war existed in football. I wish there was a, you know, value per performance, some type of metric, and I just don't know where it's at. Jimmy Graham, $10 million. Cole Kmet, second round pick, 1.7. Allen Robinson, 18. Nick Foles, 6.7 and a fourth. Andy Dalton, 10 million. Anthony Miller, a second and a fourth, right? That's $36 million for three receptions and 38 yards. The $1 million per yard, plus 2 seconds and two fourths, right? You put that on the defense, you're talking about a top three, maybe number one defense in the league. So a couple points, guys. Matt Nagy is like the evil son. He has tricked his older brother and his parents, right? I have no idea how Ryan Pace just doesn't go crazy. I have no idea how the McCaskies have not fired this guy. He's got too many toys, too many receivers, too many trick plays. He never cleans up his mess. He says the same stuff over and over and over. And, David, you had said two things. I think, David, you said one thing, and Molly, you said another earlier. David, you said, hey, you know, the value. He gets no value out of his guys. And then, Molly, you said something like, hey, you know, he was so off the beat that he said, you know, they knew this was coming, so we did something entirely different. Right. Hey, well, guess what, Nagy? Stefanski told you he was going to run it. The Bears knew they were going to run it,
right,
and they still ran it down your throat. Matt Nagy suffers from trying to be the smartest guy in the room, and he does what the other team isn't expecting, but he's not a coach or a leader. He's a crazy mad scientist, and he's not just a bad play caller. He's a bad OC, and he perpetually puts his D and his special teams in terrible positions. Last things, guys. Kareem Hunt was available when Pace and Nagy passed on him to sign little Tariq Cohen. And he had some off-the-field issues, which we're all aware of. But in terms of value, someone Nagy had coached, that he was right there. So John Fox was run out of town, and Nagy's stats are way worse than John Fox's on the offensive side. So I'll turn it back over to you guys and listen.
Thanks, Rich.
I'm not willing to just dismiss Kareem Hunt as off-the-field issues, okay? This was a physical abuse of a woman. So let's not do that.
That couldn't happen. Yep.
No, that couldn't happen. Molly, I think that if you want to – Matt Nagy deserves all the criticism he's receiving today, but I don't think it absolves Ryan Pace from his gigantic role in all of this, because I think that's where – if you want to trace it back to the root of the problem, I think that's where it is.
Ken's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, here. You listen to that interview that Nagy had a little while ago. The man sounds defeated. First things first, Justin Fields should not see the field anymore this year. You've got someone that's defeated that's going to try to help him. Not going to happen. Put Nick Foles out there. Hell, let Nick take all the beating that he can, because he's a professional. He's been out there for a while. Matt's still going to look like Matt. Foles should not go out there again until they have a staff, a coach, and a couple more players around him that can help him shine. Until then, the kid's going to look terrible, right along with the coach and the GM. They're ruining the guy. I don't want to see it happen.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you. David, would you bench Justin Fields for his own protection?
No, not now. Not now. I don't think against the Lions it's a winnable game. Now, I couch that. I wouldn't bench Justin Fields for Nick Foles. If Andy Dalton is healthy, I think he's your starter. And I think for reasons that we all understand. But, no, I would not do that. I think that would be an overreaction, and you have an opportunity. Look, you got to give the kid some feel-good moments on the field. You got to give him something to build off of. That's why at the end of that drive, the opening drive, they kicked a field goal rather than end it with a fourth down stop to try to build some positive momentum, and that's what he still has eluded him. So, no, I wouldn't do that right now.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation. We'll bring in Dan and Layla next, and we'll talk to them. Apologize to any of the callers we didn't get to. Give us a hit tomorrow. We'll be more than happy to talk it over with you. It is Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.